All right, we are in Luke chapter number 17. If you take your Bibles and turn there with me, Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11, and read down through verse 19, and then just look at one verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. But first of all, Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said, He said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says there, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for these scriptures that we've read this morning. Lord, this season of the year we focus on Thanksgiving, but oftentimes our mind goes to other things other than being thankful. Lord, help us to be thankful people. Lord, of all people on the face of this earth, we as Christians have the most to be thankful for. Father, I just pray that we'd never forget that not just this during this time of the year, but all the year, every day of our lives until you return, help us to be thankful. Help us to live a life that is full of gratitude for all that you have done for us. And as a result of that, help us to give ourselves to you and live our lives for you. Lord, so many people have questions about what the will of the Lord is for their lives, but this verse tells us very specifically what your will is, and that's to be thankful. Lord, your will is for us to give thanks, and I just pray that we would do that every single day. Lord, we love you and thank you for this, and just pray that you'd speak to our hearts about this matter this morning. Be with preacher as he preaches, strengthen him, help him as he preaches, and fill him with your Holy Spirit and help us to listen and be in very intent as to what you have for us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning we're thinking about Thanksgiving. I wanted to speak to you on the subject of the attitude of gratitude. I think all of us would like to have that kind of an attitude in our life. And I think all of us would agree that we ought to have that attitude in our life. I'm thinking about these men in Luke chapter 17, and I want to read these verses again just for emphasis this morning, but it says in verse 11 of Luke 17, "It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village there and met 10 men that were lepers and stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." The Lord said to these lepers, "Go show yourself to the priest." In those days, there were certain requirements. If a leper was healed, he had to go to the priest, to the Jewish priest, and to present himself, and the priest then would declare him to be clean. If he was not clean, the life of a leper was pretty difficult. He was an outcast. He could not live in the city where everybody else lived. He had to live outside the city. He had to, whenever somebody came close to him, he had to cup his hands and say, "Unclean, unclean." And people would stay away from him because it was very, very contagious disease. And so it was not a life that anybody would enjoy. These men had that difficult life. And the Lord said to them, they asked the Lord, "Master, have mercy on us." And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And then it says, as they went. In other words, they did what he told them to do. And as they went, He didn't cleanse them there, but as they went, the Bible says they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." He said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." The indication there is that the 9 didn't come back to say thank you. But one did. The Lord said, "Where are the other 9? And then to this one he said, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." See, when you have leprosy, leprosy would eat away parts of your body. Sometimes people would have fingers and hands and arms. They'd have parts of their body removed, eaten by the leprosy. But this one that came back, Jesus said, not just be thou healed, he said, be thou made whole. He gave him back what he had lost or what he had been destroyed by the leprosy. And leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. Sin causes a lot of damage in our lives. Thankfully, when we come to the Lord and ask him for mercy, he cleanses us of our sin. And he makes us whole, makes us a new person in Christ Jesus. By today's standards, she should have been a very unhappy, troubled woman. Her father died when she was quite young, leaving her to be raised by her mother and her grandmother. As a result of a doctor's careless error, when she was only 6 weeks old, she was afflicted with lifelong blindness. The tragic and traumatic experiences of this woman's childhood years being blind would have given most people more than enough grounds for a lifetime of self-pity and bitterness and psychological disorders. Yet in her autobiography, Frances Jane Crosby wrote, and I quote, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for the dispensation." The doctor that destroyed her sight never forgave himself. He moved away from that area, but there was no room in the heart and in the life of Fanny Crosby for resentment. In fact, she wrote in her autobiography, she said, "If I could meet him now, I would say thank you, over and over again for making me blind." I wonder how many of us would have that kind of an attitude. She said the blindness that many would have considered at best an accident and at worst a curse was considered by Fanny Crosby to be one of the greatest blessings. She accepted her blindness as a gift from God. I could not have written thousands of hymns, she said, if I had been hindered by the distraction of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice. What an attitude for a person to have. Her first poem that Fanny Crosby wrote was at the age of 8. And she said this. She said, "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh because I'm blind, I cannot nor I won't." Well, wouldn't it be wonderful to have that kind of an attitude? This morning, I want you to consider with me some contrasts between a grateful heart and an unthankful heart. Too many times we live life as an unthankful person, don't we? There's so many things that God does for us, and we don't take time to stop and thank him. And sometimes when the difficult times and things come in life, we certainly don't thank him for those. We kind of grumble and complain and murmur about them. I got up this morning and looked out and saw it was raining, and my first thought was, "Oh no, it's raining." You know, Sunday morning, rain keeps people from church, you know. And we use little excuses sometimes, but then the Lord just kind of reminded me, and you know what I said? I said, well, thank the Lord, it's not snowing. And then I talked with a pastor friend of mine up in Michigan, and he has COVID, and he said about 20 people in his church have COVID, and I thought, thank the Lord, we're not dealing with COVID. Amen? We can be here, and we can worship together, and we can have a service. So if we'll begin to think and ask the Lord to help us not to be critical and murmur and complain, but find out what it is we can be thankful for. As our verse in 2 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will that we give thanks. You say, preacher, how can I give thanks in everything? Well, when we understand Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If I know that all things in my life, whatever's going on in my life, is for my good and for God's glory, then I can learn to give thanks to God. If he's doing something, even though it may be hurtful and painful and difficult for me to get through, if I know it's for my good and his glory, I can say, thank you, Lord. And I can give thanks. So what are the contrasts between a grateful heart and an ungrateful heart? A thankful person and unthankful. Let me give you several of them. First of all, a grateful person is a humble person, while an ungrateful person is a proud person. Humble versus pride. Big difference, isn't there? All of us know people who are filled with pride, and those are the kind of people we don't usually like to be around. The grateful person seems to usually have a great sense of unworthiness. He says, I have so much more than I deserve. The ungrateful person says, I deserve so much more than I have. I'm reminded of the answer that Brother Dick gives a lot of times when we ask him, how are you doing? What does he say? He says, better than I deserve. Amen. That's the grateful person. Better than I deserve. I've always been impressed with the grateful spirit of Ruth in the Old Testament, the Moabitess woman. She was widowed after less than 10 years of marriage. She was an impoverished stranger in a foreign land, and she was condemned to live with a bitter mother-in-law. Now, it's tough to live with a mother-in-law, but a bitter mother-in-law. No, I thank the Lord I had a good mother-in-law. And she's in heaven, and she was a great blessing. But Ruth had to live with a bitter mother-in-law, Naomi. Ruth seeks a way to support herself and to support her mother-in-law. And when she is discovered by the man by the name of Boaz, if you know the story, he gives her the right to glean in his fields, and he actually told his men to leave behind hands full on purpose, to leave some things for her in the field. And when he did so, she fell head over heels later in love, but at first just trying to show her gratitude to this man for his generosity. Listen to what she said in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger? She said, I'm a stranger, why do you care about me? You know what we probably would have said? We'd have probably said, well, Boaz, that's the least you could have done for me. Instead of being so thankful and grateful. You know, I think sometimes we treat God the same way, don't we? We say, Lord, that's the least you could have done for me. Instead of falling on our face before him and saying, God, why do you even care about me? David said in the Psalms, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou hast visited him? When you think about the millions and billions of stars, and when you think about all the planets and all that's involved in creation that God made, and we're just a little speck on one earth, on one of those planets, what is man that God is mindful of us? We should be so filled with gratitude. Henry Ward Beecher said this. He said, pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soul out of which thanks naturally grows. Do we have a humble mind? He went on to say, a proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. that sort of reminds us of our society and the world in which we live today, doesn't it? We have a lot of people that just get. I never get as much as I deserve. I think about these 10 lepers that we read about. Jesus healed them of their leprosy. And as I said, leprosy was a dreaded disease, and it was awful to have to live that sort of a lifestyle. Not only the disease itself and the pain and the discomfort, all that went with it, but the outcast and being set apart and not having the communication and fellowship with others and having to cry unclean and all that went along with it. What about the other 9 lepers that didn't come back to say thank you? Why didn't they come back? One did. He fell on his face. He acknowledged and he praised and he thanked the Lord. But 9 did not. I think maybe, just maybe, they thought they deserved the miracle. Perhaps they thought good health care was a human right, huh? If we got what we deserved this morning, we'd all be in hell right now, wouldn't we? Because the Bible says all of us have sinned. We've all broken God's laws and His commandments. And if we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell. Anything else is the mercy of God. Thank God for His mercies. The Bible says His mercies are renewed every day. David said He daily loadeth us with benefits. God's been so good to us and blessed us over and over and over again. I wonder how many people in the nursing home this morning would like to sit in the pews of our church and be able to come to a service this morning. I wonder how many people in a hospital bed this morning would like to be here and be a part of this service today. I wonder how many ill at home. I got a little text from Brother Dick between Sunday school and church. Thanked me for the Sunday school lesson. Said I'd rather be there. Said I'm thankful for live stream, but I'd rather be there. I wonder how many people ill at home would rather be here today. Have we stopped to say, Lord, thank you that I could come to church today? That I have the health and the strength and the blessings of God. I'm just saying that a grateful person is a humble person. An ungrateful person is a proud person. Secondly, a grateful person is conscious of God and others, while an ungrateful person is self-conscious and self-centered. Grateful people think and talk about others. Ungrateful people tend to focus on my needs and my feelings and my hurts and my desires. They think about how they have been treated or how they have been mistreated. They think about how they have been neglected or failed or wounded. You see, an unthankful person is full of himself. All he thinks about is himself. He seldom stops to consider the needs and the feelings of other people around him. Grateful people are loving people. They're people who seek to gratify and bless others. While ungrateful people, they're bent on gratifying themselves, doing whatever's going to satisfy them and meet their needs. You know, it's an interesting thing. One of the most common end results of ingratitude is the sin of immorality. The man or woman who is not thankful for the way that God has met his needs easily begins to falsely accuse and find fault with his good God. In reacting to the provisions of God that God has already made, and he seeks for ways to fulfill those needs or desires in other ways that are illegitimate and inappropriate. The ungrateful person is only one step away from seeking to get his needs met in an illegitimate way. Think about it for a minute. The immoral man. In many ways, God has met his needs through a godly wife or for a good mate that God's brought into his life. Think about these looters that we see even in the last few days in some cities. What are they doing? They're trying to meet their needs in an illegitimate way to get things that they want. And many of those needs God has provided or would provide in other ways. I think about the electronic addicts that we have in our world today that are trying to meet needs in an illegitimate way. The pornographic addict who seeks to meet needs that are illegitimate, fulfilling them in an illegitimate way. The drug addict, the alcoholic, the cigarette smoker, they're all a result of being unthankful for what God has provided and how God has provided and met our own needs. And instead, we want more, or we want it now. And we're not thankful for what God has given to us. Remember what God said in Romans chapter 1? Three times in Romans 1, God says he gave them up to a reprobate mind. But in verse 21 and 22, he says, because that when they knew God, did you catch that? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. See, God said much of this in Romans chapter 1 started out with an unthankful heart. And they became fools, he said. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Well, there's a third one. A grateful person has a full heart, while an ungrateful or unthankful person has an empty heart. A full heart and an empty heart. No matter how little we may actually have, when we compare it to other people around us, a grateful person enjoys a sense of fullness. He may not have much, but he's thankful for what he has. But no matter how much a person has, if he does not have a thankful heart and a grateful heart, he'll live with a gnawing sense of emptiness. He still wants more. He's not satisfied. I've got to have more. Listen to the Apostle Paul's example in Philippians 4, verses 15 and 16. Paul said, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Paul said, I was preaching the gospel, and as I was out there, there were necessities, and he said, nobody really cared about it and helped, but you, he said, once and again, you sent to my necessity. Now remember this, Paul was writing from prison. He's deprived of all but the barest of necessities. And listen to what he said in verses 18 and 19. He said, "But I have all and abound. I am full." He wasn't complaining. He said, "I have all, I abound, I'm full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an offer of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And then he said in verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Paul's in prison. He's rejoicing. And he said, "You sent to me once or twice. I had just the barest of necessities. Because you cared for me, you sent to help care for me, my God will supply all your need." See, sometimes we take Philippians 4:19 and use it as a blank check. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But there's some conditions to that verse. You see, those folks took care of the Apostle Paul. They helped him while he was in prison. They cared about the men of God. And because of their giving, God gave to them. You know what we do so often? We'll say, "God, my God shall supply all my needs. Why is he supplying my needs?" Because we don't take time to give to somebody else. The best way to cure selfishness is to give. Look for ways that you can give to help somebody else. And you don't have to have a lot to give. All of us can find somebody who has less than we have. Amen? And just that spirit of wanting to help and that spirit of wanting to give says, "I am grateful for what I have, and I want to help you to have what you need and care about other people." The grateful person has a full heart. The ungrateful has an empty heart. Corrie ten Boom was in a Nazi concentration camp. She speaks of the humiliation of the medical inspections that they had to go through. She said they were stripped naked, headed down unheated hallways. Their throat and their teeth were checked. They were jeered by the vile, wicked guards. She said that her friend Betsy said to her one day, as they were walking down that hall and being inspected and jeered at and mocked, she said, "They took his clothes from him too. Oh, I forgot to thank him." What an amazing spirit. Instead of whining and complaining, she thought about Jesus on the cross. As they took his clothes, they stripped him naked and hung him before mankind. And she said, oh, I forgot to thank him. I forgot to thank him. Number four, a grateful person is easily content, while ungrateful people are subject to bitterness and discontent. An ungrateful person holds tightly to his rights. I have a right. These are my rights. I don't know about you, some of us who are a little bit older, and I'm not as old as some of you are, but this time of year when they have that time when they have open enrollment, and how many of you have seen enough Medicare commercials on TV? But there's one on there, and there's several of them where they come out and say, I want all that I deserve, or I want all that I can get. You know, it's that spirit, that idea. I deserve it. It's mine. And I'm not taking away from anything, because I know Social Security and Medicare, those folks that have worked through the years have paid into all of that. It's not a right in a sense. It's something that you have paid into and already paid for yourself. I don't want to take away from that. But there are so many that want more, and I want to get all that I can get. And I want to, you know, that whole spirit of ungratefulness, never content. The ungrateful person is subject to bitterness and discontent. He holds tightly to his rights. He sets himself up when he does that for hurts and disappointment when God or others fail to perform according to his expectation. He thinks he has been shortchanged. But the person who yields his rights to God all through life is a person who has thankful eyes. Lord, I give my rights to you. I trust you. A.W. Tozier said this. He said, thanksgiving has great curative power. And that is so true. He went on to say, the heart that is constantly overflowing with gratitude will be safe from those attacks of resentfulness and gloom that bothers so many religious people. Interesting comment that he made. Matthew Henry said, thanksgiving is a proper answer to dark, disquieting thoughts and may be an effectual means to silence them. Songs of praise are sovereign cordials of drooping souls and will help to cure melancholy. When we have no other answer to the suggestion of grief and fear, we may have this recourse. I thank thee, O Father. End of quote. Someone else said, gratitude is like a vaccine. It's a vaccine that can prevent the invasion of a grumbling attitude or a disgruntled attitude. As antioxidants prevent the disastrous effects of certain poisons and diseases, thanksgiving destroys the poison of fault-finding and grumbling. We could all use a good dose of that vaccine, couldn't we? Get rid of the fault-finding and get rid of the grumbling that takes place in our life. And may our hearts be filled with thanksgiving and praise to our God who has done so many wonderful things for us. Number five, a grateful person will be revealed and expressed by thankful words, while an unthankful person will be revealed by murmuring and complaining. One of the things God dealt with the nation of Israel over and over again in the Old Testament was murmuring. They murmured, they grumbled, they complained. We don't have enough food. We don't have water. Why does Moses think he's the only one that can hear from God? And on they went. And God was so upset with them at one time, he was ready to wipe them off the earth. And at one time, Moses was so upset because they grumbled and complained to him, he was ready to wipe them out. Somebody said if God and Moses had ever agreed on it at the same time, they'd all been wiped out. Murmuring. A grateful spirit enables people to view and respond to the most painful circumstances with thanksgiving. Some people complain because God put thorns on roses. But other people praise God because he put roses on thorns. There's a difference, isn't there? Some people just don't understand how great our God is. Matthew Henry was once attacked by robbers, and later in his diary he wrote, "Let me be thankful, first of all, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Thirdly, because they took my all, and it was not much. Fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who was doing the robbing." I wonder if we got robbed, would we respond that way? Would we look for ways to thank God for being robbed? I doubt it. David Brainerd was a devoted missionary to the American Indians who died before he was 30 years of age. While visiting friends, he developed a very severe toothache and a shivering cold. During the night, he was attacked by high fever and great pain throughout all of his body. And yet he thanked God that this distress had fallen upon him while he was among friends rather than while he was out alone in the wilderness. Another time, while ill in his little hut and suffering severe pain, he again found grounds for gratitude. He wrote in his diary, "Blessed be the Lord, I am not exposed to this in the open air. I have a house and many comforts to support me." On yet another occasion, when facing long weeks of solitude, pushing through swamps and rocky terrain, through dark nights and cut off from human companionship, he wrote in his diary, "What reason for thankfulness have I on account of this event?" He explained that contact with people afforded him the friendship and companionship of the world, but the loneliness drove him to experience intimate fellowship with the Lord. You see, even in the darkest and most difficult times, we can find some things for which to be thankful. And lastly, grateful people are refreshing, life-giving springs, while ungrateful or unthankful people pull others down with them into their selfish, miserable ways. You know, there are some people that just lift you up, aren't they? There are other people that just pull you down. And you don't like to be around those kind of people. Grateful people are the kind of people that you like to be around. They refresh you. They encourage you. They are like a life-giving spring. But unthankful people will pull you down. Unthankful people will make you miserable. Misery loves company. I don't like to be around miserable people, do you? And I don't want to be a miserable person that people don't like to be around. So let me ask you this in closing. Which kind of person are you? Are you a grateful person who is humble, or an ungrateful person who is filled with pride? Are you a grateful person who is conscious of God and others, or an ungrateful person who is self-conscious and self-centered? Are you a grateful person who has a full heart, or an unthankful person who has an empty heart? Are you a grateful person who's easily content, or an ungrateful person who's filled with bitterness and discontent? Are you a grateful person who's revealed and expressed by thankful words, or an unthankful person revealed by murmuring and complaining? Are you a grateful person who is a refreshing, life-giving spring, or are you an unthankful person that pulls others down with them into their selfish, miserable ways? And of course, the greatest thing for all of us to be thankful for is our salvation, isn't it? If you've trusted the Lord as your Savior and been saved, been born again into the family of God, you've been cleansed from that leprosy of sin. And we don't have to be outsiders. We get to be inside, into the family of God. We have a place prepared for us. We won't be cast out. We get to go into heaven and be with the Lord for all of eternity because He died on the cross and with His own blood paid our sin debt that we could be saved and have eternal life, have our sins forgiven, and be a child of God. This morning, are you still lost in your sins and on your way to an eternal hell? Or can you say, "Thank God, I've been washed in the blood. I've been saved. I've been born again. I'm a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven." Aren't you glad and thankful for your salvation today? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There ought to never be a day go by that you don't say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." And there ought to never be a day go by if you're not saved that you think, "Boy, I'd sure like to be saved. I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven." And if you're that person today, you can know that for sure. Christ died for you. And He wants to save you. He wants you to be a part of His family. And as a Christian, when we become a part of His family and are a child of God, then we have to work on that thankful heart, grateful heart, and be careful that we're not bitter and grumbling and murmuring and complaining. It's contagious. But so is a grateful heart. That's contagious too. And you can help others to be grateful and encourage others to be thankful as we do the same in our lives. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we can't begin to thank You for all that You have done for us. Over and over and over again, You've blessed us. You've given us life and health and strength. You've enabled us to be here today. You've enabled us to be able to enjoy a wonderful lunch in a little while. You've provided for us. There's probably not anyone here today that goes to bed hungry at nighttime because we don't have food to eat. Much of the world in which we live will go to bed hungry tonight. We'll throw away more than what many of them will ever have to eat. Lord, thank You. Thank you for the comfort. Even here in our church service, we have heat and air conditioning. We have padded pews. We have light. We have comfortable seating. So many blessings. We'll go home to homes and we'll have a comfortable bed to sleep in. Probably no one here will have to sleep on the floor tonight or on a dirt floor or on a mat out in the open space. Most of us have a vehicle to get here. We didn't have to walk. We didn't even have to ride a horse or a mule. We have automobiles. We've been given so much. We've been blessed so much. And most of all, we thank You for saving our soul, for dying on the cross. What a great price. You paid too high a price to redeem us and to see that we could get to go to heaven and enjoy the joys of heaven forever and ever. Lord, we have no reason to be bitter. We have no reason to be ungrateful or unthankful. Help us to examine our hearts and our lives. And Lord, some of us just need to repent of our unthankfulness and ungratefulness. And many of us need to just express it more. Openly, publicly, but especially to You. Would You help us to be grateful Christians? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.